Welcome to Gospel Truth with Andrew Womack, a teaching ministry that focuses on God's unconditional love and grace. And now, here's Andrew.
Welcome to our Wednesday's broadcast of the Gospel Truth. Today I'm beginning a brand new series entitled How to Follow God's Will. Actually, this is a follow-up to the previous series that I just did for about 4 weeks entitled How to Find God's Will. Now we're going to talk about how to follow God's will. And then I'll be doing a companion teaching to this about how to fulfill God's will. So we're teaching on how to find, follow, and how to fulfill God's will. And I tell you, I am really excited about this because this is what the Lord used to change my life. I really don't think it's like you don't have a track to run on until you know what God's will for your life is. And there's a lot of Christians that just came to the Lord because they heard some preaching about that if you don't believe on the Lord, you'll go to hell. And so they came and got some fire insurance and they got saved. And I'm not saying that they aren't saved, but they're just saved and stuck. It's like they have no purpose for this life. They don't believe in a victorious life. They don't believe that God has a specific plan for them. And so they're just kind of marking time and holding on. And they're singing songs about when we all get to heaven, what a day that's going to be. And heaven is going to be when their abundant life starts. But you know what? Once you get born again, that makes you able to partake of the kingdom of God, and God can show you His will, and you can start seeing a supernatural flow of God's power through you to accomplish His will. And you can get to where you are living just an absolutely fantastic life. I'm not saying that there won't be problems. I'm not saying that we aren't in a fallen world and there aren't problems all around us, but part of the thing that makes life so grand is to see how that God delivers you from all of these things that are in this life and how God has set you free and just see the miraculous things that come through. There are many of you that haven't really found God's perfect will. And so that is a beginning place. Now, I've already talked about how to find God's will. If you've missed any of that, I encourage you to please contact our ministry and get that teaching. I have a 5-part DVD or CD set entitled How to Find God's Will. Now we're going to talk about how to follow God's will. And my second teaching in this set is going to really make this point and use Moses as an example. He knew God's will for his life, but he did not know God's plan. He didn't follow God's plan, and because of it, he messed not only his own life up, but the lives of millions of other people. Eventually, he was able to recover and come back. But I'm going to show you things that it's not enough just to know God's will for your life. You have to know how to follow God's will. And so that's what we'll be talking about starting today. Let me use a passage over here in Psalms chapter 37. And this is going to be a very simple point that I make. And it's going to be so simple that some people are going to miss how profound this is. Most people think things have to be more complicated than this. And when it's really simple and easy, some people just think, oh, that couldn't be the answer. But this is just one of the most simple principles in the Word of God about how to follow God's will for your life. Let me just start reading with the first verse of Psalms chapter 37. It says, "Fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity. For they shall soon be cut down like the grass and wither as the green herb. Trust in the Lord and do good, so shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and He shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Commit thy way unto the Lord, trust also in Him, and He shall bring it to pass." And it says, delight yourself in the Lord. This is talking about that you make God the most important thing in your life, that you make yourself a living sacrifice, totally committed to God. You are seeking God with your whole heart. And when you do that, then God gives you the desires of your heart. And that doesn't mean that He just gives you whatever you want, because what you want might not be scriptural. He's not going to give you another mate. He's not going to let you commit polygamy. He's not going to lead you into being a dope addict or a prostitute or a drunk or, you know, any of these other things that people lust for. I believe what this is saying, this is really simple, but this is just simply saying that when you turn your life over to God and say, God, I want you above anything or anyone else, and you truly become a living sacrifice, seeking God with your whole heart, then God puts His desires in your heart. Now, that's just really simple, and that's different than most people see. Most people see that this is saying God will give you whatever you want. No, this is saying that when you put your life in God's hand, He will put His desires in your heart. He will change your want to. Now, that is a major point. And you know what? I can verify that this is exactly what happened in my life. And I've seen this happen in the lives of thousands, maybe tens of thousands of other people. When I got really turned on to the Lord, you know, even when I first got born again, I got born again at 8 years of age. I got born again on a Sunday after a sermon. It really got me convicted, and I went home and talked to my dad. And in my bedroom at home, my dad introduced me to the Lord, and I got born again. And even though, you know, I was only 8 years old, I wasn't doing terrible things. I wasn't doing anything real bad. But, you know, the next day at school, I was around my friends, and they were just telling these jokes. And, you know, a third grader, how bad are the jokes in the third grade? I don't remember anything, but I just remember that they got to telling some jokes that were enough off color or enough wrong that I just instantly said, man, that's not for me. And I wouldn't laugh at it. I wouldn't participate. And they could tell something was different. And I remember in the third grade, the day after I got born again, that I had my friends saying, what happened to you? What's wrong with you? And I told them I got saved. I was changed. I was different. And there was a difference in me. And you know what? The things that used to, you know, I used to think they were funny and we used to laugh about, all of a sudden they weren't funny to me. God changed the desires of my heart. And when I really committed my life to the Lord, and I mean got fanatical about Him when I was 18 years old, I mean instantly things changed. Prior to that time, I had a horse that I had bought with, I'd gone in with a couple of my buddies and we bought this horse, and I rode that horse every day of my life. It didn't matter if it was raining or snowing or whatever it was. I rode that horse and I was really into horseback riding. And you know what? After I made that commitment to the Lord, it was about 4.5 months later before I even thought of that horse. I didn't know if anybody had fed that horse, if that horse was still alive. My desires just instantly changed. When I fell in love with the Lord, it's like nothing else mattered. And so I can testify, my personal testimony is that when I really delighted myself in the Lord, when I put God first, instantly the desires of my heart change. And see, this is one way that you can actually tell whether or not you've had a genuine conversion and experience with the Lord or not is by the desires of your heart. Now, I'm not saying that you won't ever be tempted. I still sometimes have wrong desires come. But I'm saying that if you were to just look at my life as a whole, if somehow you could see inside of me and you saw all of my desires, if they could be written down or something, it's like they just changed overnight. That doesn't mean that I never desired anything wrong, but it means that the thrust of my life, the goal of my life, I just transformed instantly. And I have seen this happen with thousands and thousands of other people, that they were drunks and they just thought, I can't overcome this. They get born again, fall in love with God, and the very thing that they used to lust after and that they just thought they couldn't live without, now they hate it. I've had people work for me that have shown me pictures of them before they got born again. You couldn't even recognize there was such a transformation. They used to be dope addicts and they just lusted after that stuff. And now they're doctors and they're people that are just, I mean, first class people, and they've turned their life around. And it's hard to imagine, but God changes the desires of their heart. I've actually tricked people before, when I was witnessing to them and trying to convert them and get them to trust in the Lord. And they would say something like, oh, but I just love my cigarettes, or I love my booze, or I love adultery too much. I could never give it up. I could never serve the Lord. Well, first of all, you know, you don't go to hell for smoking a cigarette. You might smell like you've been there, but you don't go to hell for smoking a cigarette. But there are some people that honestly think they've got to give up all of these things and they've got to change their life. And they're just thinking, I can't do it. I can't do it. And so I've actually told people before, I said, look, you just really mean this and make Jesus your Lord and say, Jesus, I'm willing to give you everything. I don't think I can do it, but I'm willing to do it. And you make that commitment and make Him Lord over your life. And then you can go do all of the adultery, all of the drugs that you want to. Now, somebody's probably going to take that out of context and blast me and say I'm a cult and stuff. I'm just saying that what I tell people is, you just make Jesus your Lord. Give Him that control of your life and say, this is what you're willing to do. And then go do what you want to. And what I'm doing, I'm tricking them. Because when they come to the Lord and when they truly delight themselves in the Lord and make the Lord first in their life, God changes their want to. And they don't want to go live in adultery anymore. And they don't want to do all of these kind of things. God changes their heart. And so I've told some people, you know, you just go ahead and make this commitment and then you can do it if you want to. But see, when they truly get born again, they don't want to. God changes their desires. He changes their want to. And I believe that that's what this is talking about. So we're talking about, we've been talking for about 4 weeks how to find God's will. Now we're talking about how to follow God's will. And you know, one of the simplest ways, I mean, this is so simple, some of you are going to miss it, is you just make yourself a living sacrifice and you truly love God with all of your heart. And if you are seeking God with your whole heart, then do whatever you want to do because God will put His desires in your heart. And I can just hear people all around the world just freaking out right now and saying, no, you can't tell people to do whatever they want to do. But if you would truly delight yourself in the Lord, which I believe is equivalent to being a living sacrifice, turning your life over to the Lord, when you truly do that, God starts leading you through the desires that are in your heart. It's really that simple. If you aren't a living sacrifice, if you aren't truly delighting yourself in the Lord, then this is dangerous because you could sit there and think, well, I'm just going to go do whatever I want to. You know, the church that I grew up in, I actually heard a pastor one time say that if you want to know what God's will is, then you just do the opposite of what you want to do. And that's always God. And did you know that that is true for a person who is a carnal Christian? The word carnal here means of the five senses, of the flesh. If you aren't Spirit-led, if you aren't truly committed to God and having the power of God renew your mind, well, then it's true that the things of the flesh, they are the enemy of God. They are the opposite of God. And your flesh, your carnal part of you, is always going to want to do something contrary to what God wants you to do. And so if you're only talking to people who are carnal and sold under sin and just living a life of defeat, if you're talking to them, say, well, then do the opposite of what you want to do, and that's God. That would be true. But what's wrong with that advice is that that is precluding that, you know, when I was told that, that was just given as this is the way that it is. All of us are carnal like this. And yet, that is not what the Scripture says. Paul talked about, he wrote to people, he says, you who are spiritual, do these things. You don't have to stay carnal. You can get to where your mind is being renewed and you are flowing with the Holy Spirit and not against the Holy Spirit. You can do that. And if you are truly putting God first and delighting yourself in the Lord, and if you are a living sacrifice, then I'm making this point that God puts His desires in your heart and you can do what you desire to do. And I know that that scares some people because they have just never felt that they could trust the desires of their heart. They're automatically suspect. Well, if you're a totally carnal Christian, if you haven't committed yourself to the Lord, well, then that's probably the proper way to view it. But if you have made your life totally given over to God, if you are seeking Him with your whole heart, then you can trust the desires of your heart. You know, I'm not going to have time on today's program to give you the full story, but let me start this. And I'm going to use an illustration of when I first got really turned on to the Lord. March the 23rd, 1968, is when I made this decision to be a living sacrifice. And I mean, my life just instantly changed. I mean, it's like a bomb went off on the inside of me. I was not the same person. I was completely changed. March the 23rd, 1968. I was in my first year of college. And did you know, prior to that time, I was actually enjoying my college experience. I was loving it. My mother and I were living at home together. The rest of my brother and my sister were gone. My father died when I was 12 years old. And so I was actually living at home alone because my mother got a scholarship to go back and get her master's degree in Durant, Oklahoma, which was about a three-hour drive away. And so I was actually living at home by myself, going to college. I was enjoying the whole thing. I had all my friends there. And I was just loving the whole deal. It was exciting. But did you know, when I had this experience with the Lord, and I mean, I made that commitment to the Lord, I went, that was on a Saturday night, on Monday, I went back to school, and I was so in love with God and so in love with people that I just was talking to anything that moved, telling them about how awesome God was and what He had done in my life. And the bell would ring, and you're supposed to go to class. And I couldn't let this person just go to hell because the bell rang, so I'd keep talking to them. And by the time I got through talking to them and leading them to the Lord, well, the class was already partly over, so I'd go find somebody else and I'd talk to them. And the next time the bell rang, well, then, you know what, I was talking to somebody else. And so for about 2 weeks, I tried to go to class every day, but I would wind up witnessing to people and talking to them. And every once in a while, I would actually make it to a class and I'd sit there and they'd be talking about algebra or they'd be talking about something. And man, I was just so excited about the Lord that I didn't want to talk about any of those things. It didn't minister to me. And I got to where over a week or two period of time after this experience that I had with the Lord, I got to where my desires changed. And I went from loving this university experience to hating it. I didn't want anything to do with it. I mean, it was like pulling teeth. When I had to go to school, other than the fact that I knew I'd get to see people and I'd get to talk to them and tell them about the Lord, that part was good. But to think about having to go into class and put the Lord out of my mind and focus on things that had lost all interest to me, I got to where I hated it. And you know, one of the very first things that God led me to do after I got really turned on to the Lord was to quit school. And you know how He led me to do it? It wasn't an audible voice. I never heard the Lord say that you are supposed to leave university and things like this. No, it was just the desires of my heart. My desires changed. I had been excited about it prior to that experience. After I really got turned on to the Lord, I lost all desire for any type of a secular education. And I mean, not only did I not like it, I hated it. It went the other direction. And God led me through the desires of my heart. You know, I'm going to explain that in a lot more, but let me jump forward about 20 years or so. After I was already in the ministry, I had gone to Costa Rica and had held meetings there one time, and the people just loved it. It was in a Bible school. They asked me to come back. I'd already planned on going back. I already had my plane tickets bought and everything. And I was moving my mother from Arlington, Texas, up to Colorado Springs. It was about a 17-hour drive. And I was driving a U-Haul truck. And as I started praying about going back to Costa Rica, all of a sudden, I lost my desire to go. And instead, I got a desire not to go. And I actually, after 17 hours praying, called the people up and said, I'm not coming. They said, why not? What happened? And I said, nothing's happened. I just don't want to go. And boy, they got very offended about, well, we've already made preparations. We've already announced this. We've already done all these things. And I said, I'm sorry. I just don't want to go. I'm not going to go. And you know what? I was never invited back. Those people never understood what happened. But when that plane that I was scheduled on, it landed in Mexico City and then it took off and went to Costa Rica. And did you know as it took off from Mexico City, it crashed and killed 169 people. Every person on board died. And you know how God spoke to me? It wasn't in an audible voice. It didn't say, don't get on the plane. It didn't say, don't go to Costa Rica. He just changed the desires of my heart. And that's one of the ways that you follow God. I've got a lot more to share about this, but I'm out of time today. And so we'll continue this on our program tomorrow. I encourage you to join me then and also listen as our announcer gives you information about how you can get this teaching on how to follow God's will.
Andrew's complete teaching titled, How to Follow God's Will, was recorded live at a recent Gospel Truth seminar. It's available on either CD or DVD for a gift of any amount when you contact us. This series is also available on DVD as seen on our daily TV program. You can receive it for a gift of any amount when you write or call. Or you can get today's teaching as part of the God's Will package, which includes three albums: How to Find God's Will, How to Follow God's Will, and How to Fulfill God's Will. As a bonus, the package includes the Destiny Stories DVD, highlighting four stories of people whose lives were transformed as they pursued God's will for their lives. The entire package has a catalog value of $120. But Andrew considers this teaching so important, he'd like to get it to as many people as possible. Therefore, he's offering it to you for a gift of just $75 or more. Remember to specify the CD or DVD package when you order. The first audio teaching in today's series is available for a gift of any amount when you write or call. We encourage everyone to give, but if you're simply unable to afford it, Andrew and his partners will provide this first CD titled Following the Desires of Your Heart, free of charge. We'd like to remind you that we're offering Andrew's latest book titled God Wants You Well for a gift of any amount. Contact us today to get your copy. You can use your credit card to order resources by telephone. Our helpline number is 719-635-1111. Helpline hours are Monday through Friday from 4 a.m. until 9:30 p.m. Mountain Time. If the lines are busy, you can visit our website where you can order ministry materials 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at awmi.net. To write us, use the address on your screen. We appreciate your generosity and hope to hear from you today.
I want to give you a quick update on our project here in Woodland Park. We've called it the Sanctuary, which that word means a place dedicated to the glory of God, and that's what this place is. And we're in the process of moving out here. We purchased this 157 acres in September of 2009, and since then we've been going through permit process. Okay, so we right now are in the lodge, and it's located right about here. It's not marked on this map. And we're going to come out this road right here, this little single line. This is proposed roads that the builders have in here, but this little single dotted line is the existing dirt road that we have. And we're going to come out here and take this little dirt line right here, this little single line, and go by the pond. We're going to build a pavilion out here on the pond for staff and students to use as like a break area and also our summer get-togethers and things. As you can see, we've gotten some equipment. This is a skid loader that we bought, and we've been doing a lot of work with that. This equipment, this backhoe and stuff over on the left-hand side, a man from Arizona donated that to us, and that is an industrial heavy duty. It's a very big one, and that thing, I'm not sure the exact price, but I know it was over $30,000 that piece of equipment cost, and that's been donated to us, and that's a real blessing. And starting from about right where we are right now, this will be the back side of our auditorium, and then from here all the way up over this little hill will be the auditorium portion of our new facility, and this is the view that we will have. The whole southern
side of this building is going to be glass. And it's going to be about three stories of glass, and it'll run the entire length of the south side facing Pikes Peak. And also, this gets southern exposure. So as far as environmentally or as far as the utilities, this is going to be tremendous because we are going to take all of this solar heat and use it to heat the building. It'll be really a great thing. So that auditorium will reach up to just about this spot right here. And this auditorium will go from here back. And then there will be a connector right here that goes over. And in this area and down overlooking this pond will be where we have that dining hall, what I'm calling the barn. And it will start from here and it will extend down towards those trees, but it'll be out overlooking the lake and again have this entire view. So it is going to be a beautiful, beautiful place. See, this is our building site, and as you can see, there is a housing addition over here that you can see approximately maybe half a dozen houses. And back to the east down here is where Highway 24 comes through, but you can't see it. That one road that you can see far off in the distance is actually an access road that comes into Highway 24 that leads up to another housing addition. But from the highway or from this Trout Creek Road that goes back through the forest, neither one of them, you can't see this from here. So this will be totally hidden from the highway. People won't even know what's here unless they were to come in here and actually see it. It's going to be awesome. And we are now in the process of going through all of the permits, all of these processes, and we hope that in the summer, probably at least before August of 2010, we'll be able to start putting in the roads and putting in the infrastructure, the utilities, electrical, water, sewage, all of these things, and give access to the building site so that we can begin the excavation and the actual building process in 2011. This first portion that we're doing, we're calling paving the way. That's our architectural fees, putting in the roads, the utilities, all of this infrastructure. And it's going to be around $3 million to $3.5 million just to get this first phase done. And we've had about $1 million of that come in. And so I just wanted to thank those of you who have been behind that. And we believe that we're right on target. We'll be able to get this first phase, paving the way, done before the end of 2011. And then in the beginning of 2011, we'll actually begin the excavation and all the building process. So I want to thank those of you who've been a part of this and who are a part of our foundation builders. We are building buildings, but primarily we're building lives changed by the power of God that are going to go out and make a difference in this world. And you are a part of it. So thank you very much.